Christian greetings. Good to be here with you again. I've been blessed by the words we've heard this morning, starting out with the Advent. In Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that statement? Do you really believe it? Is he not able to meet every need, just as he did when he walked this earth? We heard here a little bit ago, Jonathan mentioned man's frailty, God's power. We have to remember there were many that were not healed when he walked this earth, whether it was spiritually, physically, or emotionally. There were many that did not accept what he had to offer. I've titled the message this morning, taken out of John chapter 5, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? I'm confident that we have people here that are struggling, fighting a fight, that may feel like a losing battle. There's most likely young men and women, middle-aged and older, that are struggling. And it may be a struggle in areas of purity. It may be anger. It may be bitterness. It may be a struggle with wrong music. Whatever the struggle you're facing, it's real. You may well wonder if anyone else deals with these struggles. What's wrong with me? Trust me, I've been there. The battle lines may change with time, but there's always going to be a battle as long as we are on this earth. We have an enemy that is bent on getting us. He doesn't care a bit about us. His goal is to kill and to destroy. When we come face to face with eternity, what really matters? Friday evening, I was in Iowa on Friday, and I was on my way home. I was coming down Highway 54, and you come down through a little town of Linn, L-I-N-N. My mind went back to when I was coming down that same road about a little over 16 years ago. And I had a friend that was riding with me. He went along with me to Versailles to look at a pickup. I ended up buying it, and I was toting it back on a trailer. And as we came down that hill, something caught my eye in the other lane. And there was a white box truck, something like, I don't know if that's what you call it or not, but one of those trucks like something like David Peachy has. And that truck was going end for end across the bridge in the other lane. And something's wrong. And I watched that and with big eyes, and then suddenly I noticed that down in the medium on that oversized white rock that the state puts down there to slow the water down, I guess, was a little Freestar minivan parked in the middle in an odd way. And I started slowing down, but there was already other people running to that van. And so I started going on, but then I saw that there was, looked like smoke coming out from under the hood. The horn was honking steadily. And so I stopped. I pulled over to the right. I ran over there. And they were trying to reach in and pull the hood latch. And fortunately, those Freestars have a fiberglass hood. So I just tore the hood loose from the hinges and jerked it up and unhooked the battery. And thankfully, it was steam, not smoke, that was coming out from under the hood. And then other people were coming in, so I left. My friend stayed in the truck. He wouldn't get out. And, you know, it was a quiet trip home. He was not, I don't believe he was a Christian. And I used that opportunity to talk to him about the Lord and the importance of being ready. You know, we never know. We have no promise of tomorrow. And that was my friend Sean that was with me, Sean Haskin. But you know, there was a 22-year-old young lady young lady in that van, and a 75-year-old. I looked it up, and my guess is that it was it looked like a young lady doing a good deed, taking somebody to get her groceries. There was groceries spread all over the ground outside that car. But you know, just like that, it was over for them. Excuse me. You know, is it possible? And as I drove through there, my mind went to the thought, is it possible to live with the confidence that we are whole? You know, if that is you or I that is suddenly gone without warning, is it possible to have that confidence that you are whole? If you'll turn with me to John chapter 5, I'd like to read that passage. First 18 verses. If you care to, if you're able, if you want to stand while we read this, you're welcome to. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. You may be seated. So here Jesus had come to Bethesda, those porches, and I can only imagine his compassionate heart, seeing all the needy people around him. They needed deliverance and healing. They were there waiting for that water to move. And it seems that Jesus must have reached out to the most needy person there. This man had been there for 38 years. 38 years of helplessness. Now, we'd have to go back a couple benches before we get to 38 years, probably. That's a long time. 38 years. Someone else had gotten there before him. 38 years, he was too late. He was unable to persuade someone to stick by him and be ready to help him. And Jesus, looking around, he saw this needy, pathetic looking man. You know, if someone is laid up for a year, what happens to them? If they don't move for a year, we know the body deteriorates fast. Muscle tone leaves. This man wasn't laying there for a year. He wasn't laying there for 5 years. He wasn't laying there for 10 years. But he was just 2 years short of 40 years. And Jesus walks through, his eyes rested on this needy, this helpless specimen of a human being. And he stops. He looks down on him and he said, "Wouldst thou be made whole?" Can you imagine what went through this man's mind? He didn't know who this kind face was that was looking down on him, asking such, maybe we'd say, a ridiculous question. He didn't know that this was the man that was causing the big stir in the area, especially on Sabbath days. But he answers, he says, "Sir," and maybe he was thinking, you know, why would you ask me a question like this? "Sir, I have no one to take me down to the water when it's troubled. But while I'm on my way down, somebody else gets there before me." Then Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And I don't think things were different there than now, but can you imagine the group of people that started coming in around when they saw Jesus talking to this man? Maybe some recognized him, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But this man that had been in this grip of this infirmity for 38 years, his muscles totally gone. He got up. He bent down. He rolled up that bed, put it over his shoulder, I'm guessing, and walked. He walked out. A whole man, it says. So where's Jesus? It says he conveyed himself away. He disappeared. Well, Jesus got away, but there was those concerned citizens that caught up with this whole man. And they explained to him that it was not lawful for him to be carrying that bed on his shoulders on the Sabbath. He said, "Well, the same man that healed me told me to take up my bed." And they asked, "Who healed thee?" No, they didn't ask who healed thee. They weren't concerned about who healed him. They were concerned that he was carrying that bed. Forget the fact that this man hadn't been able to carry his bed for 38 years, probably. But because he didn't know who this man was, they seemed to let him go. Did this man take his bed back to his house, come back to worship, maybe, introducing himself to old friends that didn't recognize him, causing quite a stir? But, you know, suddenly he finds himself face to face with the man who healed him. Jesus looks at this man that's standing straight and tall. Excuse me. You know, possibly totally unrecognizable to those around him. You know, when the Bible says he was whole, I believe he was whole. I believe he looked like a healthy person. Jesus comes up to him, he says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." This time the man knew who he was talking to. Let's think a little bit about the progression of things. Jesus got this man's attention. He appealed to his will. Wouldst thou be made whole? Well, you know, what a question. Then he called him to act. He said, arise, take up that bed and walk. Then he comes back and he pronounced him whole. And then he laid a commandment on him. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. So the first question is, do you want to be made whole? You know, the fact is, if you don't, there's nothing that Christ can do for you. And we can see by the man's answer that he had given up hope. He never expected to be made whole. He had lost heart. He had lost hope. He says, sir, that was his reply, I have no man to help me when I'm on the way. Someone else gets there first. In other words, why are you asking me a question like that? I don't have any chance of being made whole. But the question coming from Christ somehow brought hope. It awakened that longing within him. And I think there was something about Christ looking at him that he knew this was not just an ordinary person. That look in his eyes. And you know, maybe it was a thought came to him. This is the answer to my problem. If this is the man that can give me wholeness, he better be willing to do what he asks, what he says, willing to submit to what he asks. You know, if you apply this to yourself, it is you that is lying there, totally unable to help yourself. And you know, we are either there or we have been there. If we're conscious of our sin, our shortcomings, conscious that we are not what we wish we were, conscious of the passions that master us, the evil things that hold us in their grip, conscious of the muscles that have deteriorated, well aware that we have fallen and lain that so long that we can't make it to the pool. You know, if Christ will indeed heal spiritually. If men and women can get loose from the chains that bind them, if you find yourself there and you have that desire to feel that touch of Christ, that balm, if the poison that is burned in our veins like sepsis is to be healed, then we need to look at the first question Jesus asked. Wouldest thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? If you do not, then Christ cannot help you. If there's no desire for pureness, no desire for a higher mode of life, no desire after the things that are beautiful, the things that are of good report. But you know, the truth is, I don't believe there are very many people that don't really desire that down deep. That don't really want to be made whole, at least in some point in their life. You know, without Christ, there's a void that cannot be filled in any other way. I read a story of a pastor in the late 1800s in a city, and I believe this is over in England. And he had spent a lot of the night by the bedside of a dying man. And as he was headed home, he rounded a street corner, and ran right, almost face to face, into a man, a young man about his age that he knew well. A man that had grown up in a godly home. He had been taught what was right. He had gotten into the wrong crowd. This young man had prematurely aged, sunken in cheeks, bloodshot eyes, and as they met face to face, the pastor took his hand and said, Charlie, when are you going to stop this kind of thing? Charlie looked at the pastor and said, what do you mean by asking when am I going to stop? I would lose my hand here and now if I knew how to stop. You know, he said if he had met him in the evening going the other way, he may have been mocked and ridiculed. But here he met him at his lowest, coming back in the wee hours of the morning. You know, again, the first question is, do you want to be made whole? You know, this man wanted to be made whole. Why not? He could have said, do you think I'm happy with lying here all these years? Whatever his sickness was. Do you think I like this condition? That's not what he asked. But instead, it was hopelessness. Sir, it's no use asking me. I cannot be made whole. In a sense, he was saying, of course I want to, but it's not going to happen to me. I've been waiting all these years for someone to take me down into the pool, and no one has ever showed up. You know, does that sound familiar? That hopelessness, that feeling of, I can't do it. I can't get out of this quagmire. You know, how many stories have we heard of addicts that wanted to change, that deep down wanted to be made whole, but it was out of reach. And we have the story in Mark 9 of the man that brought his son to Jesus. And he said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst, that's what he told Jesus. Maybe that was a poor faith, if. But you notice Jesus replied with the same words. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, Jesus didn't rebuke him for questioning his ability to help. But he came back with an if thou canst believe. He came back right on the same level. This man humbly cried out, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In Matthew chapter 8, we have the story of the leper that came to Jesus. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It says Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, catch that? Jesus reached out his hand and touched this leper, saying, I will, be thou clean. This man was questioning the power. Or he wasn't questioning the power, but the willingness. He said, if thou wilt. The first man was questioning the power, if you can. In a sense, maybe he was saying, are you willing to help a leper, the lowest of society like me? And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. He wasn't offended by the question, if or will you? Back to the man on the porch. Let's think a bit of what might have been going through his mind when Jesus asked him that life-changing question, wouldest thou be made whole? Of course I would, but what's the use? I can't. Why did he ask me? Hope. Maybe there is something to that question. If I expect anything to change, I will have to do what he tells me. It means submitting to what this stranger tells me to do. Then those life-changing words came, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And let's look at the order of Christ's instructions. Could it be that too many times we turn these around, we try to walk before we rise? Can you imagine what those around this man were thinking? Are you kidding? Arise, there is nothing in this man's body that will allow him to rise. Logically speaking, you don't lay in bed for a year and then are able to get up. He's been laying there for 38 years. Impossible, ridiculous. Who does this stranger think he is? But suddenly the man is up. He bends over, rolls up his bed, slings it over his shoulder, walks out down the steps or wherever, out of that, there along the side of the pool, the power of the gospel. You know, this is the method Christ uses to heal still today. He brings you face to face with your sin, with the vice that has a grip on you, whether it's a habit, a passion, bitterness, or whatever it is, right there in front of you is this one thing that is holding you back. One thing that you've never been willing to face or to bring out of the closet. Christ begins to deal with you, bringing you face to face with your impossibility. He says, start here, arise. We have another story of Christ meeting a young man, a ruler, a wealthy man. Jesus told him, one thing thou lackest. What was it? What was the hindrance? Maybe some would say, well, he needed poverty, but is that really what Jesus was saying? What he was not willing to let go of, self-control. He was not willing to let Christ have control of his life. He wasn't willing to let go and let God. How sad. We also have the story in three of the Gospels of the man that had the withered hand. How did Jesus address this man? Did he go to him and say, you know, he told him to hold out your hand. Did he say his good hand? Do you ever think about how a person with a withered hand holds it out? It doesn't go. The withered hand hangs there. They can't do anything with it. Jesus said, hold out your hand. And the man held out his hand, and he was healed. He's made whole. You know, Christ meets us at our weakest point, the point that looks hopeless to us. It's no use. To this man, he said, arise. How did this impotent man arise? First of all, it was, wilt thou? Of course he wanted to. Then Christ said, arise. It meant that his will was that the man, the impotent man laying there, should be made whole. The man can't. But Christ can. Christ is sufficient. The power is there to heal. How did the man's cannot and Christ can come together? The man said, I cannot, but if he tells me to, I will. That is where Christ's will and the man's will met. The power of Christ flashes into the man, and he gets up, stands up straight and tall in the energy of Christ, not in the energy of his own will. Remember, he was down there for 38 years. That didn't happen of his own will. He couldn't do it. It is Christ's power that you need to set you on your feet straight and tall. You must submit your will to Christ's will to receive that energy if you expect to master the infirmity that you're facing. And we're talking about the spiritual realm. It takes the attitude of, I can, but he said, I can, so I will. I will arise. Abandonment to Christ, obedience to him, willing to do whatever he asks. By doing that, the impossible can be done. The power you need for breaking those chains is there. You can be made whole. It was this man's abandonment of will and an act of faith that brought him into living contact with Christ. The next part, take up thy bed. Why is that so important? No provision for relapse. Nothing to come back to. You know, after 38 years, it wouldn't have been reasonable for this man to say, you know, I don't know, how long is this going to last? I might need this bed. I think I'll just wait, make sure I don't need it. But he didn't. He followed the command. He took up his bed. He took it out, everything. I won't need it again. Jesus told him, take it up, carry it out. He did that. It's one time that it's right to burn the bridges behind you. Or another term I've heard, and Jesus talks about it, is radical amputation. Do whatever it takes. Get rid of whatever is dragging you down. You know, what is your soul worth? Excuse me. You know, I was at a couple years ago after a meeting one night at Bible school. Young man there said, I want to talk to you. And so he followed me back down from the, from where we had our meeting up at the shop and there at the Niangua. We went down the walks and I was ahead of him. He didn't say a word. As we walked down through there, it was totally quiet. And I walked into the, it was late. Nobody was down at the chapel. We walked into the, I walked into the glass doors, but he didn't come with me. I heard a noise. It sounded kind of bad, like a shot or something. I couldn't figure it out. I turned around and he was down on the floor picking up his phone. And I looked and he had this, he had a determination on his face. And down it went again and again and again and with big crashes. And he came in and handed it to me. And he said, well, I need that thing. Well, you may need a phone. But you know, there are phones you can get that work as a phone and still does keep you can keep you from getting into things that are dragging you down. He wasn't going halfway, he's part ways. It was a good phone. There's nothing wrong with it. It was an Apple, pretty new Apple phone. Was that really the thing to do? But he was making a statement. You know, don't give yourself a chance to go back. It's like the drunk that truly wants to change his life. He makes a clear statement that he's going to quit in the strength of Christ. He goes home and there's a half a bottle of whiskey in the cupboard or the closet or wherever. He goes and he jams the cork down. He gets some Gorilla duct tape and he tapes it over the top, right? And puts it back in the corner. Not touching that stuff again. Is that going to work? No, it's not going to work. He gets rid of the thing. If he does that, you know, as well as I do, it's not going to last. It's there for him to go back to. We all know that will never work. But how many times do we do the same thing in other areas? You smash it. Burn your bridges. Cut off companionships with those that are luring you to ruin. You know, be a man or courageous young lady. Tell them, I'm done with this way of life. I want to be real. I'm going the other direction. Truth is, you may be surprised how many really want, how many will go with you who really want to do the same thing, who really want to be whole. Now let's look at walk. Jesus didn't tell him, we have people here ready to carry you out. He said, walk. You know, maybe too many people expect to be carried. The church is there and should be there to support and encourage, but you must walk. If Christ gives you the power to rise, to take up your bed and walk, he will also give you the power to walk. And when this man met Jesus again, and it may well have been his final words to this man. He said, thou art made whole. Sin no more. And he didn't stop there. He said, lest a worse thing befall thee. And what could be worse than going back to the old disease and no one to come heal you? What could be worse than facing Christ unprepared? Christ didn't say this to someone that was down. It was to someone that had been made whole. And only Christ has the power to do that. In conclusion, back to the word, arise from the Master. Make a start. Make a beginning, not in your own strength, but in the strength of Christ. You know, are you going to let go and let him make you whole? You know, that's the heart of the message this morning. That's the secret of the power. Let Christ. Let go and let Christ. Let's kneel together for prayer.